Hi, this is Writer's Cast, a podcast about books and authors. I'm David Wilk, your host, and today I'm interviewing a new novelist named Quay Quarty, who's the author of Wife of the Gods. It's an Inspector Darko Dawson mystery, a novel published by Random House that's due out July 14th, 2009. Hi, Quay, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thanks for coming to New York. As I understand it, you live in Southern California.
Yes, that's correct. It's great to be here. I brought some good weather.
Which is a good thing. Of course, in Southern California, you almost always have good weather.
Right.
But you're not originally from Southern California. Where are you from?
I was born in Ghana. My mother was African-American and my father was Ghanaian. And I was born in the capital city, Accra.
And how long did you live there before you left?
I lived there to my late teens, and then I returned with my mom sometime after my father died there.
So you then, did you graduate from high school in the U.S. or in Ghana?
Graduated from high school in Ghana and started pre-medical in Ghana. And then I transferred to the United States medical school system at Howard University. So that's where I continued my medical school.
So you got your medical degree from Howard?
Right.
And then did you work in a hospital or someplace like that at some point?
Went directly to Southern California at the end of my training, and that's where I began my internship and completed my residency.
So you've been there for a while?
Yes.
You like Southern California?
I love Southern California.
And what is it, just, you know, I know we're really here to talk about your writing and not about, but it's interesting that you have this other career, and it's a pretty busy career. It's not just a part-time job, obviously, but what's your specialty in medicine?
I do urgent care. That's walk-in medical emergencies, anything from sore throats to heart attacks, and then I also do chronic wound care.
And that's been your specialty for the most of your career?
Yes.
And how do you like being a doctor?
Well, I think it's very trying and very challenging, but in spite of that, I think it's probably the greatest and most noble profession in the world.
Well, it certainly is noble because it is something that, you know, you're giving of yourself.
Yes.
But what inspired you then to be a writer? I mean, that's obviously, it's a big commitment of time and energy, and it's a whole other way of being than it is to be a doctor. So it's just interesting that you are doing both, but what got you to that point?
Yes, well, it is interesting that a lot of physicians have turned writers, Michael Crichton, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, just to mention a couple. So I'm not sure what it is about the profession that has that effect. Although I would say that I've wanted to be a writer long before I wanted to be a physician. When I was a kid, I used to devour books. I used to read 2 or 3 books in a day sometimes. I was a classic nerdy kid that didn't go out and play, stayed indoors reading books. And I remember I wrote 3 novellas around about the age of 8. And 2 of them were crime fiction. So that just shows you that I have stuck with crime fiction since I was a kid.
When you became an adult, at some point you must have decided, I want to be a writer, or maybe you just said, I've got this idea for a novel. What happened?
Well, it's funny. The turning point was when, after my training, I had become a physician, an MD. I was sitting in an ICU one day, feeling sort of in the doldrums, and one of the nurses asked me, well, what's wrong with you today? And I said, I don't know, is this all this is? And she said, well, what else do you want to do? And I said, well, actually, I want to be a writer. She said, well, what's stopping you? Go for it. And then I joined a UCLA class, and we did about 6 weeks of the class. And then we went into the teacher had her own private class on the side, and that's when I joined. And we used to meet every week and discuss our work. And that was really how I took off with writing. I wrote a couple novels while I was in that so, in that class.
So you didn't, yeah, this is important, I think, for, you know, the aspiring writer. This is not your first novel, even though it's your first published novel.
Correct. I have actually a subsidy published novel, which shall remain secret, except to everybody who's listening now. That was published by Subsidy Press, is where you pay all the upfront costs for the publishing, and not generally looked upon kindly by the establishment publishing industry, shall we say.
Right.
So that was one, and then I finished a huge 750-page novel while I was in the writing class, which was called, I think, something like Fateful Places, or it was a way overdone novel that I did. So I would say this is really my third novel and first published.
Right, which obviously shows that writing, I mean, it's a lot of work.
Yes.
Because if you're willing, you have to be willing to write a 750-page novel that may never see the light of day.
Yes.
Which you're not alone in. I mean, I've known lots of writers who have the first novel in the drawer, never comes out,
and
may never come out. And they don't want it to come out because it's the first effort. It's like practice.
Yeah.
Not fully formed, not what you want it to be. But what gave you the idea for this novel? And maybe you should give a little background or... to our listeners, you know, the story, I'll say a little bit, but you should probably talk about it. The novel is set in Ghana, modern, contemporary Ghana, with a character, this Inspector Darko Dawson, who's a fairly complicated guy, not your classic detective, I think, and some very human, I thought, you know, that you portrayed him as having warts. Definitely human foibles, but he is he's your main character,
right?
And he lives in Accra,
right,
and has to take a case that's far away,
yes,
in the countryside,
yes,
in a place which it turns out he grew up in, so he's returning home, and of course it gets really complicated because of that, but what gave you, I guess I shouldn't go too much further, what gave you the idea, how did you start this novel?
Well, it's interesting. It was actually born, I would say, the initial kernel of the idea was born in Paris, believe it or not. I was visiting Paris for a few days. This was at the turn of the century. I think it was later in the year 2000. And I went to Europe for a visit. And just before I went out on the town, I was watching a documentary on TV, and it was about a rural detective in the Ivory Coast, which is next door to Ghana, on the west side, who was trying to solve a murder mystery in a small village. And it was a very rather brutal man. And what he did was he used a lot of superstitious beliefs of the villagers to try and coax them to confess. And talk about reality TV. This was the real stuff. There was nothing staged about this. And it was shocking in some ways, the brutality that he had. And that's not the brutality that we see in our character here. It's not related.
No, but there's brutality of others.
Yes.
That you,
absolutely.
Maybe you transferred it to other people.
Absolutely.
Who are, you know, your main character is the good guy.
Right.
The bad guys are other,
yes,
cops.
Yes. Exactly, and I would say that some of that came over from that TV program. And I, at the time, had been trying to write something that was set in Los Angeles. I think I had a novel which I was kind of turning into a screenplay. That was just a mess, and things were not going well. And it came kind of like a revelation as I was watching this. I was saying, well, why don't you write something like that? You've lived in Ghana.
Right.
You know, up to your teen years, why don't you write something that's set there? And originally, I set it in a country that was Ghana-like, not Ghana itself. And it was later that one of the agents that I sent the manuscript to said to me, well, why not just set it in Ghana? You live there. Why are you limiting yourself? And that's how I changed it to be in Ghana. But to step back a little bit, after I decided to set a detective story or crime fiction in Ghana, I first had it mostly centered around this idea of witchcraft being a possible culprit or being possibly responsible for the murder. And then I saw a TV program on 60 Minutes about a group of women in a small segment in Ghana, in the Volta region, which is on the southeast coastal area. And these women are young women given up to fetish priests, who are local priests that are said to have powers or be intermediaries with the gods. And there are many gods. They're gods of the forest, gods of the river, you name it. They're
right,
gods.
Nature gods.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And, well, there's the major god with the big G and right. that everybody still believes in, and then there are the minor gods as well, god of the forest and so on. And the belief here is that if there's a crime committed within a family or within a community, in order for you to absolve yourself of the repercussions of the gods punishing you for what you've done, you need to give up a young woman, it could be as young as 9 or 10 years old, to one of the local priests and have her serve in his shrine for an extended period of time, it could be life actually, in order for you to avoid being cursed by the gods. And so I saw this program on 60 Minutes and was quite shocked by it. It's kind of like when in the States we discovered that there's some cult in some, you know, small area of Texas or something. And this was the reaction that I had. Well, who knew about this kind of thing? And I, you know, I'd venture that most people in Ghana don't know about this Drakosi system either. It's a very, very tiny minority of people that practice it. And it's only in one tribe, in one small area of the southern part of Ghana. So it's not widespread in any way. But it's unusual and intriguing enough for me to think, well, this is a good setting for a murder, because you've got all this complicated stuff, and then you throw in the witchcraft and all this kind of thing, and, you know, you've got a really interesting mix. And so that's how the story developed over the years. So it's definitely a lot different than the original incarnation.
That sounds like it. How many years did it take you to write it altogether?
Well, it's really 8 years, 7 to 8 years.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah.
And well, and it's very polished. I mean, as a reader of it, I would say, well done.
Thank you.
And I enjoyed the setting in Ghana. I think whoever gave you that advice was absolutely right.
Yes.
It makes it rich. It rings true. There's all kinds of interesting you know, they're technical or kind of details that you don't notice,
right.
but you register.
Yes.
It helps build the you know, a sense of who the characters are.
Yes.
I mean, there were interesting things because you were judgmental about certain things, like
mm-hmm.
this policy,
yes.
or this practice, which clearly you don't like.
Yes,
your main character doesn't.
I think
like.
It comes out
yeah.
quite strongly.
And I thought that you know that was you know that was made it much more vivid because there was a tension between you know the obvious you know it is it's something that happens in many parts of the world. You have the tension between the
yes.
modern and the old.
Absolutely,
and it's not always true that the old is better.
Correct.
It's not always true that the new is better. And so people have to live those contradictions, and they have
right.
to live those tensions,
right.
which you illustrate in this book. And I, you know, obviously we cannot talk too much about this story for people who might want to read it. It's a complicated story. The main character there's a lot going on for him. You know, he's got the whole thing about his son and his wife and the mother-in-law, lots of complicated stuff. That's universal in some ways. It, you know, that doesn't have to just be Ghanaian,
right.
I think.
Right.
But clearly set in Ghana, making it more unique
yes.
in many ways.
And not to interrupt, but in Ghana, there's a little bit of an extra complication, and that is that the extended family is extremely important, much more so than the nuclear family. And in fact, one thing that I'll comment on as being part of my experience, my mother, who was African-American, always found it a little bit frustrating living in Ghana that she was often excluded by her husband's side of the family. Right. And so the pressures from the outside family are extremely strong there. And that's one of the issues that a lot of people may not realize about living in
Ghana. Right, and you bring that becomes part of your story.
Right.
Also, the relationship of your main character Darko with his aunt.
Yes.
That's crucial.
Yes.
And of course, she lives in the community where the murder takes place.
Right.
And becomes entwined in the story.
Yes.
And I thought it was very complicated, in a challenging and good way. I don't mean complicated in a negative way at all.
Right.
And at least for me, you held my attention all the way through. And I often, you know, will give up partway through a novel. Sometimes, particularly mystery novels, if they don't hold my attention, you know, if there's not enough going on. And you clearly did that, right?
Yeah, and that's a sort of almost neurotic fear I have that somebody will put down the book because it just didn't hold their attention. And so it's been really gratifying for me to hear from readers who said I couldn't put it down, or it held my attention all the way through to the end. It's like I heaved a huge sigh of relief. Oh, thank goodness.
No, I think you succeeded. And how was it that you found the agent you have now, and then you got to a publisher? How did all of this unfold?
Well, Marley Rusoff is my agent. She's a wonderful agent. She's very well known in the New York literary establishment, and she seems to know everybody on the planet who matters. And finding an agent was not easy at all. But really what did it for me was finding the Agents and Research Evaluation, which is an online service run by Beverly Swirling, who is a writer in her own right. And she runs an excellent agent finder for you. And she does it at different levels, you know, either very superficial, just a list of names, or she can go in depth into what these people have written. Now, she does know Marley, and she thought, well, let me give her a try, because she had recently signed on Michael Stanley, who wrote a mystery novel set in Botswana. There are actually two writers, and those are the combinations of their names. And she said, well, she wasn't really sure whether Marley would be interested in taking somebody on again who had a story set in Africa, but she said, well, let me give it a try. And so she did. And the funny part of this story was that actually Marley was trying to get a hold of me through my landline, my home phone, which I never pick up. And she had left multiple messages. And it just so happened that she was talking to Beverly, and she said something about, oh, you know what, this guy who wrote this book from Africa, you happen to know him, where he is. We've been trying to get a hold of him.
Funny.
So Beverly immediately emailed me and said, you know, you'd better get on the line to Marley real quick.
So that's great.
Yeah.
So once she took you on,
right,
it was a matter of her just finding the
right
publisher.
Exactly.
So that's great. And obviously, you have plans for more of these now.
Yes, very much so.
Because it says, and it does say on it, an Inspector Darko Dawson mystery.
Right.
The implication being there will
yes.
be more.
And everybody's interested in seeing more, and I am too, because what's great about the series is that you can actually get to know your character a little better. I know him pretty well, but I almost feel myself that I still don't know some things about him. And I think that as I write, I'm going to know a lot more about him. And there's so many things that have potential to grow in him, in his family. There's so many relationships that still have potential for clashes and being sorted out or being worsened. So definitely, I'm really raring to go on.
Have you started?
On the second.
Have you started?
Yes, I have started the second novel.
And so, but when you start the novel, you don't have it mapped out. You start. It sounds like you start and you go and see what happens.
Yes, that's what I do. In general, I don't map out until possibly the middle or just before the middle, when I need to have some clarity. But at the very beginning, I almost cannot map it out. It's too early, and I'm too insecure and nervous about what's happening that I feel almost scared to try and map it out. But the mapping out that will come later. And in that regard, also, I would say that I'm one of the writers where the characters do take over and sometimes even surprise me. One of my experiences is waking up in the morning, and I always wake up early in the morning to write, and what will have happened is overnight my subconscious would have come up with something, and I wake up and my eyes pop right wide open, and I say, that's what's going to happen, and then I hurry to the, you know, to my laptop to write, because some process is going through my subconscious as I go to bed, and the characters are kind of developing in my subconscious, and when I wake up, sometimes something that I wasn't sure how I was going to handle will be obvious to me.
Right. Well, that's an interesting process. So right. Obviously, yeah, we can save that for another time, but it obviously raises questions about, you know, the psychological component
yes.
of the book. Is the story solving
yes.
psychological problems for you, you know, as a kind of indirect way
right.
of dealing with issues?
Right.
And
right.
I'm not saying that has to be literal, but it is a kind of interesting idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it should be fun for you then, because you get to explore this. It's partially self-exploration as well as writing the book.
In the sense that a lot of times I feel like I come to understand a character better. And I think there might be some parallels with medicine, because one of the things about medicine is that as you interview a patient, you kind of have to get into his or her mind to understand where they're coming from. Because a lot of times things are not what they seem. And that's the same way in detective stories. As the detective is doing the interviewing, the person who is talking to him may be lying, or they may be telling the truth. In medicine, it's not so much lying, but it's that the patient himself or herself doesn't really understand what's going on. For example, I once saw a patient who said she was having problems with dizziness, and there was just something about the way she talked about her symptoms that made me ask her, well, what's going on at home? And she immediately burst into tears. And in fact, what was going on was that her husband was having an affair. So this was far from medical. It was
right.
all psychological. She was under a lot of stress. And it's the same way in detective stories. As the person talks about something, the detective is looking for clues as to, is this real? Is what he or she is telling me the heart of the matter? And that's the way I think some of those
right.
parallels come between medicine.
I think that's a really interesting parallel. And it also goes to the notion of being a good listener and
yes.
being a sympathetic person, which for medicine obviously requires diagnosis. That's
Very
what diagnosis
important.
Is.
Very
and for
important.
I had never thought about this, but for a detective would be the same
yes.
thing. And that is, there's the truth and then there's the truth.
Yes, exactly.
And you have to listen very carefully
right.
without prejudging.
Yeah. yeah.
So you can really
exactly.
hear what's going on.
Because the detective always comes in and asks, well, what happened? It's the same thing the
right.
doctor does. And then the detective assembles all the clues, and that's the same thing that the doctor does with the, not just the history, but the diagnostic tests and so on. Those are all clues that he assembles, and then so hopefully he comes to the right answer. But sometimes they're red herrings, and you can be led off in the wrong direction in both cases, being the crime detective and being the doctor detective as well.
Right. I think that's fascinating. Well, thank you so much, Quay. Again, this is we've been talking about The Wife of the Gods by Quay Quarty. It's a new book coming out from Random House in July. There is a website, QueyQuarty.com, which is QueyQuarty.com.
Correct.
And thank you once again. I wish you luck with this novel.
Thank you.